No one's perfect, but no one's worthless. We ain't deserving of everything heaven and earth is, but where it is good.
This is my home.
So no one's perfect, but no one's worthless. We ain't deserving of everything heaven and earth is, but where it is good.
Northern California.
Hey, they better call a paramedic in the street. I got leverage in the street. I'm a California and I'm heavy in the streets.
22 or 23, I'm heavy with the heat. Hit you with this chop, paramedic can't save you. Really in the field, come on, bro, I know that ain't you. 2018, hell no, I ain't gon' f*** you, go f*** you. TDE and SOB, we can't lose. Mate, that's just something I can relate to. Turn on a gang, that's just something that I can't do. All out of real f***, just something that I can't do. Rip, bear, beat, I get on, I was made to. Get the ground, something like a Black Panther. Tryna touch a milk, then get your bands up. Fucking with the gang. Yeah, I had the man up, I'm fished in the air. I ain't finna put my hands up.
I wish it was. I wish it was. I wish it was. West Coast, yeah, they blowing fast. I know I'm the man, baby, bring your friends with you. Putting points up while you in the stands. But I've been stuck in these streets, you in the background. Ever since they took my brother, got a f*** rounds. Sorry, mama, two bells, took a bad route. I done got my bands up a stack now. But we been still OT on that boy. I don't wanna have to do it, empty fool. Why these talking Robin, they don't do. Hot Cali, tapped in, we a cook. Busting on my neck. Reach, get stretched. Rocking with this, better wear a vest. Last year I was broke, young in the crest. Now I show 20 better broke. Keep the rest. I wish it was. I wish it was. I wish it was.
If you don't keep a paw, how you ready when it's beat?
Lord,
they keep cut, y'all bet the freeze. If that want me dead, I can't let the breathe. When we gon' send a shot like the real kind. These acting like they tough when they real kind. Thumbing through 100 racks just to kill time. They got it at the edge, but I feel fine. But it come with this, I'm okay with it. If your man's to his last year, I play with him. One whole wood to the neck, it's an eighth in it. New baby chop, let it sing, it's a Drake. A lot of shit on my mind made me think a lot. Why it's hard for me to smile, cause I've seen a lot. You ain't really in the field, you just tweet a lot. If we ain't on the same page, you can kick a rock.
And I've been really trying to keep the peace, but I'm a Norfolk Lil, and I'm heavy in the streets.
I was raised by my granny and the gangsters. So I ate, I made the choice, I'ma forever be a G. And I don't really like to talk. I remember we was broken, I don't really like to walk. Now I ride around and fun calls. And I put on for my team who was with me from the start. I don't play games, snitch slip, I don't say names. She want a dog, I'm a great dame. I got great aim, my sage and my damn chain. My mama told me keep a stash for the damn rain. They ain't wanna see me win cause I'm black. So I put up in that all black Benz in the back. If you need someone to call, on the man for the...
Beat the man with the mat. Bruh, man, what is CC Radio episode 21, bruh? You already know, man. If y'all was in the studio, right now, bro, man, I just had to go dumb real quick over that song.
Are you, bro? Okay, are you sweating, bro?
Bro, low you are key, out of breath, bro. Hearing that song through the headphones literally had me going stupid, bro. Man, bro, every time I slap that stuff in the whip, bro, going dumb, but. We're back, man. CC episode 21. Black Panther. We just got done seeing it. We got Vic in the building. We got Michaela in the building. We got Jalen in the building. We got the homie Oba sliding through in a little bit, man. But, bruh, what's good with y'all, bruh? You know, we just had a little hypey session real quick up in here, man. It was lit. Bruh, what's going on?
That got kind of wild, bruh.
I
caught a feel for a second there.
Exactly, bruh. Bring out the Snapchat, man. The Instagram stories, man. Prove it, man. Oh, bro. But talk to me, man. What's good with y'all?
Nothing, man. Nothing.
Bro, if you don't, hold on, bro. After us just having this hyped up moment, We can't just settle it down like that, bro.
I'm just kidding, bro. All right, I'll tell you what's good with me. This is what's good with me, all right? I got a trip planned. I'm going to Cabo in March, so that's what's popping with me. Also, you know, doing some work with you coming up. It's going to be exciting, you know. We got a few projects that we're working on, so that's always exciting, collaborating with Tevin and Combined Culture and all that.
Yeah, man.
You know, love making contributions. What else we got?
Bruh.
What you got?
I just think that this new Nipsey Hussle, bruh, has been crazy as far as on entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. Michaela, even, she likes it. So, how did you like that one song, Dedication?
I like Dedication very much so. I like Kendrick. And what's the other song? Oh, what's the other
last
song?
Last Time That I Checked.
Last Time That I Checked. Yeah, I like that song too. Because the video for that is icy.
Heck yeah.
I haven't seen the video for that.
No, the video is raw. Vic, have you seen that?
Dang, I'm asleep.
The video for Last Time I Checked.
Yeah.
Bro, exactly. How they got the little dinner in the end, how it could rise out with the beat, and they got the drone size going.
No, that's not why it's... I don't think that's why it's... tight at all. I think it's tight because it's like Bloods and Crips coming together.
It's definitely tight because of that. I mean, how they broke down like all the... I mean, throughout the video, you can see how it's split screen. You know what I mean? It's like you got one side with YG and his red, and I think he had a Lambo maybe. And
then
Then the other side you had Nip with like the blue. I think it might have been a Lambo too, bro. So
I gotta peep that.
Yeah, bro, it's fire.
No, I saw some news actually earlier today saying that at Nipsey's album release party there's a shooting.
Bro, there was not like every that. Was every that did single, that happen? Every single thing that he's had, there's been a shooting, bro.
It's ridiculous,
bro. I think from the time that his allegedly from his marathon store opening, and I think one of his parties, there was like either a fight at the store, but there was also a shooting at the concert, which was crazy,
I swear, man, the drama just—it seems like it's impossible to escape it.
But I mean, like YG, he just had his show this past weekend, and it was huge. And they didn't have there was like no violence, and it was like a big deal of his.
He used to have action at his shows too, right?
And I don't think he had any last year too. So it was like,
somebody told me that he was actually banned from LA, bro.
Who, YG?
Yeah. Not from LA, but from shows in LA. Yeah.
Oh, no, his show was in LA.
No, it was, but before it was like his first show since he was banned.
So he had like a low probation or something. Exactly. Or like a suspension from performing in LA.
Exactly. So I think like the city of LA actually banned him from
probably
doing
after
shows.
Throwing a concert on top of Roscoe's.
I don't think it was that. I think it was the F Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
So, bruh, you just had your show. Tell us about that and how it went, bro.
So, yeah, I had performed at the Thesis 1st of February.
That was
and
tight.
It was a great show. I
saw you had Coconut Oil Shawty playing in the back, bro.
So, I did Coconut Oil Shawty last and decided to have a video playing while I performed. And the response for that was amazing. Had people singing along with it and... like, it was just great, bro. Honestly, like, that was the best
sold
feeling
out.
I've had. Yeah, it was a sold out event.
His drink sold out.
Tell us what you had, man.
I had the Kobe Margarita.
The Kobe Margarita. Tell us what does that consist of?
Yo, that's coming out this summer. I don't care, bro.
Honestly, we might have to make that an official drink.
Bruh, what?
Like, you know what I'm saying? It had Patron,
yeah.
Patron Silver,
yeah.
Lime, Passion Fruit.
What's passion fruit?
It's a fruit?
Yeah.
Bro, they didn't actually have fruit in it? And they blended it up?
Have you never heard?
You
know, passion fruit is like, it's a juice, like the juice, passion fruit
juice. Bro, I ain't never had passion fruit juice.
And agave was in it too. So it was delicious.
Oh, you put agave in it too?
They did. I didn't come up with the drink.
Yeah.
Kelly's Olympian came up with the drink, who hosted the event.
Ridiculous, bro.
Yeah.
So did you let them know what you wanted in it?
No. They just made it, and they're like, here are the drinks for tonight. Each artist has their own drink.
And then, like, they had, like, a set price for it, so it was, like, cheaper than, like, normal drinks.
Oh, wow, yeah, bro. Yeah. You had me thinking you was getting creative with it, and you came up with your own drink.
No, these were just bar specials that they came up with.
Oh,
yeah.
Bro.
But, I mean, I had the best drink. I was like, you know, this fits me perfectly. You know?
Okay,
oh, my God.
Okay, bro. But tell us about that, bro. How did the vibe go?
It was the most fun I've had performing. I mean, I've been performing for, like, over 5 years. So, I mean... just to, like I said, the feedback from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Uh, considering I perform new songs, mm-hmm. like songs that people haven't even heard. That was nice. You know, people dancing in the crowd, whatever.
Bro, you know what was stupid ridiculous was when they played Swag Surf on the intermission. My dude Victor went up and grabbed the mic off stage and led the whole crowd, like the whole venue, into Swag Surf.
Wait,
bro.
Hold on, bro. So you mean to tell me this?
wasn't his Y'all performance, bro. He just went up there.
Performance at all. No.
It was in the intermission.
Intermission. We were waiting for Blossom to set up.
And you just went up there.
I just went up there and let this watch.
You're like, no.
These people were standing around.
There's like three or four. There's a small group of us like already doing it. And then Victor was like, nah, everyone need to do this.
Yeah, I've just never. I mean, it's been a while since I've heard Swag Surf play and not see anybody move. You know, because you know, like I said, and when I did it, I was like, I've been in Virginia for the past 4 years, and all we do is Swag Surf. So it's like when I don't see anybody moving, and that song come on, I thought everybody was tripping. So I was like, all right, I'm about to leave this and show everybody how to Swag Surf. And people were telling me afterwards that they never Swag Surfed before. My mind was just like blown.
That was ridiculous,
like,
bro.
Was your family there too?
Yeah.
So they
family
were swag,
showed up.
So they were Swag Surfing too.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yep. You know, I mom, dad, both sisters. Bro-in-law, both bro-in-laws. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, so how did break down to me, like, how did it feel from an artist perspective, being up there, having people know the lyrics to your songs? Like, psychologically, how did that feel?
Man, that was just, like, a huge confidence boost, honestly. It was, I haven't been in that situation before, you know what I'm saying? Like, I haven't really had a song that, like, really captivated people, and they're like, oh, I really want to sing that. I can't wait till you perform this song, whatever. And then, like, I perform it, and they just singing along. Like, you can, like, shout out to Riley. He had recorded it.
Yeah,
you can
bro,
hear
you gotta
people.
Drop that footage on us, dog.
You know what? Let me drop that right now. You know what I'm saying? But,
throw it on the like, gram real quick. Hey, what's the gram real quick so people can follow you, bro?
Ayokovi, AYOCOVI. That's actually my at name on all social media. And you'll see that video. I got some footage. I got a lot of footage, actually. Most of the footage has been posted on Instagram, some on Twitter. But yeah, man, that was just a great feeling. Like, I feel like there's a lot that can be built upon on that performance. You know what I'm saying? And I just can't wait to perform again. Who knows? There'll probably be something soon.
That'll be cool, bro.
Be on the lookout.
Man, bro. But I think for the rest of the day, man, rest of the night, I really want to dive deep into Black Panther, because me and Michaela saw it. What was that? Actually, it was a week ago today. And
not
tonight.
Really.
It wasn't. Nah, bro. I went to go see it
on Wednesday.
Thursday.
Oh, bro, I thought today was Thursday.
I was like, you tripping. I was like, I don't know what time.
Nah,
it's bro, yeah.
My bad. I for sure thought it was Thursday.
Me and Jalen saw on last Thursday, too.
So. Yeah, me and Michaela did, too, bro. So, I think for the rest of the night, man, I really want to dive deep into that. So, Aaron, who's our engineer for tonight, I'm going to go ahead and let her play this King's Dead off the Black Panther soundtrack, off the album, which was definitely one of the best songs on there. And the video goes crazy.
So crazy.
Bruh, so crazy, bruh. So, Aaron, I'm going to go ahead and let you play this King's Dead.
I'm mad that was on beat, too.
Miss me with that bullshit. You ain't really wild, you a tourist. I be blacking out with the purist. I made 100,000, then I freaked it. I made 500,000, then I freaked it. I bought an 87 for the weekend. This ain't what you want, this ain't what you want. This ain't what you want, this ain't what you want.
And it's like that look. MVP, I don't get no sleep, no, I don't like that look. Bust that open, I want that ocean, yeah, that bite back look. Do it, bite back look. D2 life jack look. I ain't gon' hold you. No pressure, never control ya. I ain't gon' front ya. Keep it 100, I don't know ya. Boss like top dog, boss my life up, crossing over. Stutter stepping, got a hall of fame and all my poster. I've been ready, my whip been ready, my been ready, my click been ready, my been ready, my checks been ready, my shots on full, that's Armageddon. I got pull, I hope y'all ready, my tank on full, you know, unleaded. I gotta go get it, I gotta go get it, I gotta go get it, I gotta go get it. My name gon' hold up, my team gon' hold up, my name gon' hold up, my team gon' hold up, my shots gon' fire, my team gon' roll up, my Nazi twice, my queen gon' roll up. I hope y'all ready, you know I'm ready, I rain all day, you know. Confetti, I gotta go get it, I gotta go get it, I gotta go get it, I gotta go get it.
Miss me with that bush.
You're not a gang member, you're a tourist. I be blacking out, I be blacking out. Bought a 83 Cutlass
for the weekend.
I got 100,000 and I freaked it.
I
made my 100,000 and I freaked it. I put a Rolls Royce on my wrist, oh yeah. Cause baby mama tryna sneak this. I took her
to my penthouse and I freaked it. I haven't made my mind up, should I keep it? I got big dog status, it ain't no secret. Daddy, 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 slime on me now. Pass me some in the car. Daddy, 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 on the floor. Chitty, chitty, baby, murder everything.
I'm on the roll and I put that on the game.
Yeah, miss me with that bush. You ain't really wild, you a tourist. I be blacking out with the purest. I made 100,000, then I freaked it. I made 500,000, then I freaked it. I bought an 87 for the weekend. This ain't what you want, this ain't what you want. This ain't what you want, this ain't what you want.
Red light, green light, red light, green light, red light, green light. So, bruh, so after doing some research, man, and diving deeper into it, apparently that, like, sound at the end of King's Dead is actually, like, I don't know if you saw it in the fight scene.
I know, yeah.
It was yeah, where like it's like, yeah. So Ryan Coogler was breaking it down, and he was really saying, like, bruh, they purposely put that, like, at the end of King's Dead. You know what I mean?
Of course.
But we're going to go round table.
That was actually from, I forgot where the tribe was from. That was from like,
South Africa. Oh, I don't know the name of the tribe, but it was in South Africa.
Yeah, it was a tribe in South Africa. And, yeah, they recorded him doing that. That was like a chant that they have. And they incorporated the movie into like a lot of the fight scenes and stuff.
Yeah, bro, it was wet.
Gave me goosebumps.
I know, right? Bro, when I heard,
like, oh my god,
bro, that one scene when they were fighting, bro.
My goodness, bro, I'm like, gonna go see that movie again.
Oh yeah. Off tops, bro.
Trying to go tonight, Victor?
Nah,
I'm kidding, bro.
This dude, bro.
I'm not going tonight. I might go see my grandma. She wanted to see it.
Graham's wanted to see it.
Yeah.
No offense, hey, bro. I respect that. But, bro. So, Jalen, we're gonna start off with you, bro.
Yeah.
But talk to us about your thoughts on Black Panther. What did you like about it? What did you not like about it? Because I'm pretty sure you didn't not like anything about it. You know what I mean? So, bro, just talk to us about the movie, how you felt, what you gained from it. You know what I mean?
Aside from plot and everything, the movie was just shot very well. The colors that they used were just amazing. The scene setups that they had were just phenomenal.
Shout out to Rachel Morrison, by the way. Rachel Morrison was the director of photography on this, and she also was the director of photography on Creed and Fruitvale Station. So yeah. The reason why it felt so real and it looked so real was because it wasn't a traditional Marvel DP.
Yeah.
So it was like she actually was like Fruitvale Station. So she's been partnering with Creed.
And I hope that kind of like carries on in the other Marvel movies. Maybe. Oh, yeah. But I also liked a lot of the costume designs that they had. They were crazy, man. They had a lot of cool just cloths and everything that they had in the movie and garments that they had people and like even just extras wearing, like I was eyeing stuff like that. I liked a lot of how they brought in a lot of modern day problems and incorporated them in the themes of the movie. Mm-hmm. Just very subtle, but like I was able to read them very quickly. Just like the issue of like Michael Jordan's character, Killmonger, how he's like, you know, what do you call it? Diasporic African American, you know, like he just like kind of felt like he was left behind, you know, by his homeland people, you know, and that's where he was from. And I feel like that carries on into real life, how like, you know, African Americans were brought over here on slave ships and everything like that. And I mean, there wasn't a superpower back in Africa like that that could have saved everybody.
Right.
I mean, at least not that I know of.
Exactly. Not that I know of.
I don't know if there really is a way.
Yeah, there might have been.
But, you know, just kind of like, I think it was a really important issue to highlight that, like, you know, if you make it in life, don't forget about, you know, where you came from, yeah, and like your other people and like people who are struggling, like always give back. And I thought that was a very valuable message, because they brought that through at the end of the movie. He was giving back to the communities and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I thought that was a huge message to put forth.
Absolutely.
Also, another huge thing I thought that took out of the movie was just the fact that there was a black superhero, like, in a very positive, powerful black male in a movie, that was doing things, you know, both, you know, being a superhero and, like I said, giving back to the community at the end. I think that's huge for the generation growing up to be able to see that, you know, like us growing up, we didn't really have anyone like that to look up to in movies, right, like that. So I think that's definitely huge. What I didn't like, I mean, there was nothing I really disliked. I don't really like Michael B. Jordan that much as an actor. I don't think he's very versatile.
In
my opinion, like, and I don't think it's a popular opinion. My sister's the only one who shares this opinion, but like, he just seems like the same person in every movie. Like, I'm not saying he does a terrible job.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like it's just how he's casted too. Like, he's casted as a kid from Oakland. And like, and then,
but peep this though. So in Black Panther, right? So Coogler, the reason why he casted him as a person from a kid from Oakland and in Fruitvale Station, I mean, you could say that.
I mean, too. I get why he was casted. It makes sense.
No.
Yeah. But like, I'm just saying.
The Black Panther stuff?
And yeah. And like, I talked with Kimmy about it, and he brought it to me. He was like, it's actually kind of fits the character even better, because my issue was like, I didn't really see him as much of a villain. Like, I felt like he wasn't like aggressive enough or didn't come off as evil enough. Aside from his actions, I'm just saying in the way that he spoke and talked, like, he just didn't seem like a bad person. He just seemed like a good person still. But then Kenny brought up to me, was like, he's not your typical villain though. That's why.
No, he's not. He's not.
And I was able to respect him more. You know, obviously, like, he shot his girlfriend. You know, he was doing tons of messed up things in the movie. But, you know, I just feel like in his tone, like, he just seems so happy. And, like, which, like, yeah, I don't know. He just seems, like, so positive. Like, a villain is never, like.
But that's because he's not the villain, though.
He's
not the villain.
He was a bad person.
No, he wasn't, bro.
Bro, he was killing people to save people. That doesn't make any sense.
He wasn't a bad person.
He was literally going to take over the world by mass murdering people. That's not a bad person.
Bro, he wasn't the evil person, bro. In my opinion, he wasn't the villain.
All right.
Victor, what you think?
I feel like Claw was the more prominent villain.
Nah, not even him, bro. But go ahead.
Okay. Claw was the more prominent villain, but then Killmonger, he knew that in order to take the throne, which was clearly his objective, that he would have to do more than what he probably wanted to do.
Right.
Me and Jalen had talked about his Michael B. Jordan's role and everything. I somewhat agree, but I felt like his backstory compared to comics was way better the movie. Because in the comics, he's not like the cousin who's just trying to get revenge, you know, and take over the throne, whatever, because of what his dad, you know, all that stuff. That wasn't in the comics. And plus, in the comics, he's from New York. So, you know, whatever. Everybody's from New York in the comics. You know what I'm saying?
It's true. Yeah, of course.
I felt like he was a threat to the throne, which is what a villain should, you know, should feel like. You should get that feeling from a villain, you know, that you should get, like, somewhat afraid. You know, my complaint would be I wish that he carried over to the sequel. Mm-hmm. Because then they could have even went in even more depth with the character and have more character development, mm-hmm, with him, and that also could have helped the film present him as more villainous, you know? Like, that's the only thing as far as, like, you not finding him as, like, seeing him as a villain. Like, if they would have carried him over to the second film, then, you know, you can get more out of that character.
Well, like, my perception of his evilness or him being a villain didn't really have to do with, like, the character development or anything like that. It was more so just, like, his acting capabilities. I feel like he just didn't change his tone of voice or anything like that.
And I mean, like, in films, he's never played the villain role in any film before. He hasn't, no. So it's like this was something new to him. But I think in what he was given, I think he maximized.
And, okay, let me put it like this. Like, he didn't seem like watching the film, like he's been through some stuff, you know, or that he's seen some stuff, or that he's killed millions, or not millions of people, but all those people and stuff like that. Like, he didn't seem like a killer until, like, he actually started doing stuff and then, like, saying stuff about how he did. So, like, that was my issue with it. Tevin, I need to figure out, like, how he's not a villain, bro.
I'm gonna go ahead and let Michaela give her insight before I break it down.
Well, I think it's interesting but not surprising that none of you brought up the strong female characters in the movie. So luckily I'm here. So yeah, I think that Shuri and what's the other chick's name? Okoye? The one with the spear? I think it's awesome that those two are basically, like, the heart and soul of the movie. Like, yeah, Black Panther is, like, one of the main characters. But honestly, I think that those two female characters were stronger. Just in my opinion.
To be honest with you, I didn't talk about it because I knew you was going to talk about it.
It's okay.
Let's be real.
It's okay.
But no, definitely, while watching the movie, that was one thing I really appreciated was how they showed how powerful women were in that narrative. I mean, one of the most powerful... Can we do spoilers? All right, cool. One of the most powerful scenes to me was like when they're all fighting, and it's kind of like a civil war going on there, and she stops the whole battle just by saying, like, put down your weapon. He's like, you won't kill me. He said, like, you won't kill me or anything like that, and then she just looked at him like, yes, I will. And he knew that, like, she had the capability to do that. Like, I thought that was huge.
Yeah, it was, but, bro. Yeah. Alba. The homie Alba just stepped in the building, man.
Salutations, people. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, man. So give us your insight on the movie, bro, and what you thought.
Man.
Because I know me and you can rap all
the
time.
We rap about things like this. And this movie was perfect because it was right in our, like, our lane. I think it was a powerful movie, yo. I think it crossed a lot of, I think it spoke on a lot of topics that haven't been talked about. My favorite part of the movie, and it's like, it's not a part of the action or a part of, like, the main story. But for the mere fact that the king's brother that was in America, and he was talking about, he was like, yo, man, you see what's going on over here with these people? You know what I mean? You see what's happening to our people on this side of the planet? There's never been a movie in my lifetime where you heard the African person, like, stand up for, like, Africans outside of Africa. You know what I mean?
Hey, you're Nigerian.
And I'm Nigerian. Yeah. And I'm, like, I'm first-generation American. So it's like... I definitely understand. My parents don't understand it. Mm-hmm. And for him to be that age and to talk about that, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was a grown man, you know? He wasn't in America. He didn't grow up in America.
Right.
And I really thought it was mad powerful how he really identified with what was going on here. And he was like, yo, I got to do something for these people. I'm not going to go back home and just live my life. I think that was like, I've never seen a movie. I've never seen an African character ever speak up like that. And I thought that was real. I thought that was dope. That touched me, man. That brought a tear to my eye. Yo. It really was crazy because you was like, oh, you know, I want to see what was in that room when they were writing those, because I know Coogler was a part of the writing as well for the movie.
Yep.
So I really want to know, like, you know what I'm saying? Where did those kind of conversations, the ones that we, you know, chop it up about?
Yep.
How do you get from those conversations to a storyboard to a script?
Facts.
You know what I mean?
Like, facts. Like, that's the thing, dog, is like, the more that I've had more discussions and we go, you put it in such a dope way like that.
Right.
You feel me?
Right.
So, like, bro, like, in that, what you mentioned about the king's brother, you guys don't agree with me, but I don't think that Michael B. Jordan's character, Killmonger, I don't think he was the villain. I think the older king was the villain, bro.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? So it wasn't Michael B. Jordan, bro, because if you think about it, all Michael B. Jordan or Killmonger was really trying to do, all he was trying to do was like, yo, bro, like, I'm just trying to get it better for my people. And he was doing like a traditional Black Panther would do. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, we just trying to build back together. We trying to build Oakland. We trying to build a better place for blacks in our society. You know what I mean? And by any means, like, the government looked at Killmonger, you know what I mean, or the Black Panther Society as violent because they were trying to use violence. But it's like, bro, you're using violence on us, so why can't we use violence on you? You know what I mean? So yeah. That's why it was so smart that Coogler and whoever was in the writer's room added that in, bro, because he literally was like a living, breathing Black Panther, like even dating back to the side. Because it's like, bro, you're looking at him like, oh, he's violent. Like, he's trying to do this. It's like, that's exactly how the government looked at the Black Panther Society, was like, oh, yeah, they're violent. But it's like, nah, bro, we're really just doing what y'all have been doing to us for years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fighting fire with fire.
Yeah, that's definitely facts. But, like, you got to realize, like, he was going in there and messing up his own people.
But the thing is, how is he messing up his own people?
He was going in, well, first of all, he killed the king without even asking, like, if he would support his agenda. Like, he just wanted to have the power. Like, he could have easily just, like, he was king for, like, 3 days, bro. So that's what I had an issue with.
But in order to get the throne, you got to kill the king, bro.
He came in, was disrespecting the culture and everything. I had a huge problem with that. Went and burned everything. He said there will be no more other kings after this. So, like, that was very villainous, okay? Like, he went in there and just completely destroyed everything and just disrespected their culture. He was pretty much doing the same thing that the colonizers did. He literally was doing the same thing that colonizers. Yeah, he killed. What's his name? Forrest Whitaker. How are you gonna kill Forrest Whitaker, bro?
Because of that awful accent. Bro.
Anyways.
Tell me. I thought we would have learned the last king of Scotland not to get it. Just speak like a black dude, and we'll just assume that you're an African character, right, man.
And he had the worst accent, bro.
Angela Bassett was a little shaky too. But why has Forrest Whitaker died in 2 straight Disney movies now?
What was the other one?
The Star Wars.
Oh shoot, he did die in
the Star Wars.
And the new.
The newest one?
No. The one in between 6 and 7.
A Rogue One.
Yeah.
He Rogue died? Right? He was in that one?
Rogue One. Yeah, he had a small part, but he died in that one.
I should have thugged here.
Yeah, I was kind of sad about that. But yeah, Disney don't like Forrest Whitaker like that. Right,
apparently.
They're not supporting his dreams, man.
Yeah. But you see why, like, he's not a, like, he, why he's a villain. Like, I understand, like.
Bro, he's not a villain, bro.
So I pointed out this, because I definitely, like, agree with everything you just said.
Right.
Like, I even extrapolate onto the fact that, like, Killmonger's character is kind of like, it's not necessarily an excuse for, people's violent behavior, but I related it back to, like, how black people are portrayed in the media, right?
Yes.
They get, you know, you might see them being super violent and stuff like that,
yeah.
Or, you know, up to no good killers, whatever. And to me, like, his character development in that movie kind of just showed the reasoning behind it. Not to just show, oh, we're natural like this. It's like, there's a reason that, you know, people, part of the environment, they grow up in that, they become that. And I think that was a really important part about his character development in that movie and diving so much, so deep into his background. Because it's limited to the fact, like, he has his anger. Like, I don't think he... I mean, I think his actions are wrong, but like, I could see why he's doing everything, you know? It's not an excuse for why it's so evil, but it's like, it's a reason for it. It's like, if I was put in that same situation, what would I be doing, you know? Would I be doing the same thing? It makes it more reasonable.
Also wanted to point out that the villains, I had the theory that there are no villains in this, because, like, if we go back to Dave Chappelle's... if any of you guys seen his Netflix special, he talks about the Emmett Till event, but how that propelled the civil rights movement. And so was that a negative event? It may have been at the time, but you know what I'm saying? Like, that helped propel the society in a way that is going to help us in Infinity War. Shouts out to Thanos this, you know what I'm saying, this summer. But I also wanted to say that the King's brother and Killmonger also were two African characters who didn't have a strong female counterpart. And that's why they were so left-brained in their thinking and their like, you know what I mean? Like, they were so much revenge, that consumed them. Whereas they didn't kind of have the yang to the yin to be able to give them a little bit of counter theory. That's why I was just kind of...
Wow,
bro. That was blowing people's minds.
Right. That was a good point.
They didn't even read into it that much.
Right. And, I mean, that's part of African culture. And, like, the female is definitely a huge, huge part of African culture. Maybe not on the outside, but, like, a cell, the nucleus. You know what I'm saying? The most important part of it and everything that was going on at home. And he didn't have anybody. Or they didn't show that he did.
From what I've read.
They showed Killmonger kill his girl.
Yeah, I did read that.
He shot her, bro.
He shot her. Yep, he did.
Yeah.
Well, me and Mikhail, I think it was the second time she had watched it because she wanted to go with her school to watch it. But he was like, dang, he even shot his girlfriend. Like, he just didn't care.
No, he was a savage.
I peeped that from the very beginning. And, like, that's when I realized, like, this dude is really, like, not trying to stop at anything to achieve his goal.
Nah.
You know.
And I mean, he made it pretty clear, like, once he had got there and he was like, I went through Iraq and all this other stuff, you know, just to get here.
Yeah. He even said, he was like, I killed my own people on this continent just so I could kill you.
Yeah.
That was a huge line.
Yeah.
That was cold.
He actually had several lines that were like,
he did.
That were really, like, bold.
Yes. But no, I actually had a rebuttal to his last line before he died that he'd rather.
The bondage went? Oh, yeah. That was an amazing line.
It was an amazing line, but at the same time.
I had to save that line.
Well, actually, no. My rebuttal was I forgot that his dad was actually from Africa, but his mom was African American.
His mom was
African
American,
right? Yeah. And I like the rebuttal would be like, you wouldn't be here if those people did. You know.
Bury me in the ocean with my ancestors that jumped from the ships because they knew death was better than bondage.
You know what I'm saying? When it comes to the slave trade, not only the strongest, were here, but, like, those are the ones that were able to procreate and pass on their genes generationally. You know what I mean? The strongest mentally and physically, spiritually as well. And so he really has a long lineage. Like, you think about a black, like, yo. African Americans have some kind of like breeding program that has made African Americans a very, very formidable race of people that really don't have a connection to America anymore. I mean, to Africa anymore per se, but still have your own difficult culture. You know what I'm saying? Like product of your environment. Like that was a huge motif throughout this whole movie.
One of the things that I wanted to ask y'all this was they had said in the movie they were like Wakandans had actually like they let the slave trade happen because they said like they dated it back like that it had happened for a while. You know what I mean? So they were like, oh, like you let our people like go away and like why'd you let that happen? So I remember like doing, you know, history books and reading and stuff, but there was actually like African slave owners, bro. You know what I mean? So it's like you could touch on this whatever, but it's like from what I've read, there was actually like African slave owners and like there was African people that sold Africans.
I mean, you got to realize also back then like race wasn't not as much a big part of the deal when it came to slavery back then because like everyone like you could be a slave for any reason back then, and then the whole racial thing didn't get tied to slavery until like the they started, you know, removing them over to America and it became a huge economic drive and they started realizing that like people from West Africa were like the best people to use for that. I mean there was African slaves who were owned by Africans. Yes, of course. There are also like European slaves who were owned by Europeans. Mm-hmm. You know, exactly. They might be called indentured servants or something like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just got pretty much what happened was once when they started realizing the potential in using free labor in the new Americas, they tied on the, you know, black people aren't human thing to make it an excuse to only take them over. And so they said, we don't need those other ones. These are the best. They're not even people. We're going to bring them over. And that's kind of how that grew out of that. But yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about that.
Yeah.
And also like... If you go to West Africa right now, I mean, there's kind of it's not slavery like we see slavery as like people aren't eating. You know what I mean? People aren't sleeping. People are being treated like animals. It's almost like a servitude. You know what I mean? Like there are Ghanaians that come over to Nigeria and they'll be like a houseboy or they'll be like, you know what I mean? A security guard for a household or something like that. And so from the outside looking in, you'll be like, oh, he sleeps away from the family. He doesn't eat with the family. Oh, that's your slave. But he's not. he's not being demeaned. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's still a humanity in treating that person. Even if they're a servant, you still treat them with a kind of regard and respect that was stripped of slavery in America. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or colonization, anything like that. Like, there was a very, very different way of having workers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So speaking of that, so I was reading an article, and there was a tweet that went out about this woman that was from Africa, and she was saying that in Africa they don't teach you about what exactly happened, you know, with slaves in America. And then she was also saying, like, you know, is it not true that, you know, everybody has like a driver or, you know, a servant like in the house, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that breaks on what you were saying. But it's crazy to me to think that, like, dang, that's not even getting taught in the history books. And it's kind of reversal, whereas in America, we're not really getting taught, like, African history, you know what I mean? But, like, in Africa, they're not getting taught about, you know what I mean? Like, U.S., not even U.S. history, but, I mean, like, how there was
history,
slaves.
Bro.
History, let alone.
History,
you know,
just
what I mean?
Like, a holistic view of history. Why do we have to have black history? Why can't we just have history? You know what I'm saying? Tell me everything that went on in this time period across the world. You know
exactly,
what I'm saying?
It's, exactly.
And that's what's missing. That's really what's missing in America and in Africa. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if that's, I don't know. You have your different postulations as to why. Maybe if we learn a little bit about both sides of the Atlantic and what went down, there'd be a little bit of unity. You know what I'm saying?
But I think that that's what Black Panther exactly will do, right? Is it'll have people like going back to
right.
their history. Like,
hopefully.
I know for a fact for myself, bro. Like, once I went back home, my grandmother had passed, so I was like, this whole time I thought my grandfather was like Native American. You know what I mean? So, but it turns to find out I was talking to his two brothers, or his nephews. You know what I'm saying? And they were like, yeah, like, he was never Native American. He was black. So, like, they're like, yeah, we just did our, like, Ancestry.com, and we found out, like, so many things, you know what I'm saying? So, like, after, like, I think listening to Ryan Coogler, he was like, yeah, I had to, like, really discover my roots and, like, you know, go to Africa and talk and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, it kind of, like, influenced me, like, ever since I've been back home and I was talking with my family. But, like, kind of just going deeper down and figuring out, like, okay, where do my roots trace back to? Because I know I'm Cape Verdean, which is an island off the coast of Ghana, in Africa, which is, you know, shout out to Amber Rose. She is too. I always joke. Yeah. I always joke with Kayla and I tell her that's my cousin.
I'm done.
But nah, it's just like, I know, like, you know, in my last name, Tavar, is like, it's Portuguese. So Cape Verdean is like African Portuguese, Portuguese African. So I know that's kind of like, that's as far as back as I can go. But like, I think definitely like further down, I want to do further research and figuring that out. You know what I mean? Vic, what was you going to say?
I was going to say, I did learn from visiting the African American Museum in D.C. a lot of the African slave trade was started by the Portuguese.
Yep.
It's a long line. And they were like the most ambitious and just like
cutthroat.
Yeah, exactly.
Bro, a majority of slaves, like a fraction of the slaves came to America. People don't realize
that.
Yeah,
exactly.
A majority went to Brazil.
That stayed in Europe like Brazil. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bro, they were, because
Brazil
people.
Had that sugarcane.
Evil people. I didn't know like that far down. I mean, they started with there's a section in the museum that literally is just all slave trade related, and it starts with the very first, and it shows you which ship, how many people were carried in that ship, what year, and they just literally start from the beginning.
Yeah, they document
the end.
All that stuff.
It's insane. Whenever you get it, you have to go to the museum in D.C. It's an amazing experience. And, like, I was in there for probably 8 hours, and it wasn't enough time, bro. It's a two-day.
8 hours?
8 hours. It's a two-day, at least 8-hour experience each day in order to absorb everything. I didn't even get to, there's four floors? Yeah, if you count the basement. I didn't even get to visit one floor just because of that. Like, there was so much on one floor to try to view and absorb, and I just couldn't. It's life-changing, honestly. Right. Not to like stray away from Black Panther, but yeah, that the whole,
it's all related.
Yeah, but I was like, bringing it back full circle, kind of what we were talking about earlier, I just saw a clip, I think I came across it on Facebook, and they're just interviewing each member's like favorite behind the scene moment.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of y'all might have seen this, I guess. So, yeah. I was like, y'all come. But it was really cool. They were talking about like everyone was just talking about different stuff, and then it all came together. Like, everyone was like, the best part was like they were doing the waterfall scene at Warrior Falls. Yeah, and then they said that they had the actual drummers there and stuff, and like
that was Ryan Coogler, right? When he was saying like they actually had that, for a moment they were like playing like. They were playing like actual hip hop.
Yeah,
like, on the
and then they drum. started playing Snoop Dogg's. What's the song?
That's what it was.
Yeah, I remember that.
Drop it like it's
drop
hot.
Drop it like it's hot. Yeah, I don't. The first thing I. I know, but I started singing it so you could tell me what the name was. Obviously, they started playing that, and like the whole cast, like extras and everything, started singing along, bro. Like everyone knew the words, and they're like, and like one,
There were a lot of extras.
Yeah, there was.
Even though like some of it was CGI, especially the higher up they got, you know, the shots.
But it was crazy though, because one of the actresses pointed out, she was like, "This is Pan Africa right here, like this is it." Like she's like, it was such a surreal moment, like we all were from just different parts of the world, but like we're all from this one place, and we all come together and like embracing this culture and like participating in it. And I was it's crazy.
It's crazy because like, dude, I feel like I watched that movie, but I really feel like I gotta watch it again to
gonna watch it again.
Definitely, like it's just is. I think I keep on reading so many memes. Like, because me being from the Bay, like, bro, my whole Facebook, Twitter, my Instagram. So, like, it's just dumb lit, bro. Like, everybody talking about, everybody's going to premiere in Oakland. And Ryan Coogler wants a Grand Lake. You know what I mean? So, it's like, seeing that, bro, is just, it's inspiring. You know what I mean? And I just, every time my favorite meme is, like, when it popped up and said Oakland 1992 and, like, People have been writing memes like the whole theater's like, it's like, bro, just seeing that, it's just, I don't know, bro. I got into so many debates with my homies, and they're like, man, bro, it's Houston, it's LA, it's New York, and I'm like, bro, that movie's straight Oakland and African, bro. It's crazy, bro.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It was filmed in Atlanta. Don't forget that.
Oh my gosh, bro. It was filmed in Oakland too, bro. Because as an Easter egg, bro. So, we were in the movie theater, bro, and I was watching it, and I was paying like real close attention to when they were in the apartment, bro. And not a lot of people peep this, but in the apartment, if you look out the window, it's the Bay Bridge.
CGI.
Yeah,
nah, it's not CGI.
You could do that, bro.
It's not CGI.
It's not hard to do.
It's not CGI, bro. The basketball court they were at was in downtown Oakland, bro. And when they had the spaceship pull out, there was the Oakland Tribune Tower right in the back, bro. It was actually shot in Oakland, bro.
Okay, I'm telling you right now. I mean, like, I'm not saying that they didn't shoot the scene in Oakland, but I'm telling you, to have been like people shoot in Toronto and stuff and put up New York buildings when they film it, so it looks like New York.
Oh my gosh.
Studios.
Yeah, I was like, they do this all the time.
They actually shot that at Tyler Perry's new studio.
Somebody was telling me that. That's what I'm saying.
Are like newly built studios
That's the first
thing
they filmed. Yeah, which is
amazing.
That was the first thing
they filmed.
Amazing. Shout out to Unison and Black Power.
What was their record that they were like number five, like.
Best opening weekend.
Bro, I got the numbers right here, bro. So, I got the numbers right here.
$242 million.
Oh no. And 427 million globally, worldwide and counting, bro.
Yeah. And boom. Then on top of that, you know, like looking at the list of movies that are ahead of them, like, you know, Star Wars, Episode 6, 7, Avengers.
Why is Avengers so big, bro? I hate that movie.
It was the first time.
It was better than Justice League, man.
Facts.
Justice League was trash.
Okay, so one, you had this buildup of Marvel movies and their live action movies. This is a big deal, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got people who aren't even really comic book fans, but they're seeing this movie because you finally have the unison of the Avengers in Hollywood. And these are well-done films. Yeah. So it's like, why not go and support
billion
it? So right, billion, right, exactly. And this is like worldwide. And this is like also in countries where they don't necessarily get as many films, you know, as like the more modern countries, and they're seeing possibly their favorite superhero on the big screen. So like this is like a really, that was Avengers was a big deal.
Yeah,
2012,
bro. That was the first time seeing that many superheroes, right. Bro. It was like every kid's like
dream.
Like this is what you did in your room with your action figures. You had like the Hulk and Iron Man all together, just Marvel's doing
Capcom.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Bro. That was the game.
Like even seeing like multiple superheroes in one film when before it was even the Avengers, like that was a big deal in itself because there were always solo comic book films and they were rarely pair up. You know, and especially in live action, like of course in the comic or in the animated films, and that always happened. But in live action, you're like, yo, you see people,
you know,
in human form, and they're a superhero.
You know, what's funny for me to see was I saw like some statistic. It was like how much money they gave Ryan Coogler to make like the budget for the movies, and it showed the different movies that he did and like how much he did with it. And it was like they finally gave like an African American like director this much of a budget and just blew out
the thing that I like so much about Coogler, bro, is like just what I've been telling y'all, bro, is like growing up in the Bay Area, you feel me, you get so much influence from so many different cultures. Like if you look at his film, bro, it's so universal to everybody.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like from the SoundCloud link to the what are those? Like what little smart. Yeah. Like how
it was you feel it me? Was very relatable considering that it was in Africa.
Yes,
in a fictional. You
yes,
know,
it was relatable
still,
to everybody, and that's what I'm trying to say is like, bro, like growing up in the Bay Area, you get so many influence, so much influence and inspiration from so many different cultures. Like I was telling y'all before, like my school that I went to, bro, I went to school with Tongans, Filipinos, white people, Mexican people, blacks, Africans, all in the same class. Growing up like that, you know what I'm saying? So like,
it's a melting pot.
So that's why when you see Black Panther, like, Fruitvale Station was what it was, and Creed was what it was, but Black Panther, it related to everybody,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, it didn't matter what nationality you were, and that's what I'm saying. That's the power of the influence. Like, no shame to like George Lucas or Steven Spielberg, but like what Coogler has been able to do with this film is he's made it universal, where people even in Korea are cashing out over and buying it. You know what I'm saying?
And I was because they had that Korea scene.
But I was telling Jalen when we saw the movie, like that was the most diverse crowd in Portland. I've been to a lot of movies in Portland. You know what I mean? I'm born and raised here. But that was the most diverse audience that I've seen for a film ever. So I mean, like
facts,
and it was sold out. So I mean,
that just shows you, like, when you make black films, it's not just for black people.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the marketability that we have, simply because that's the first thing you notice whenever we're not in the film. Is that like, yo, there's a glaring, you know, demographic of the world that is missing from this film.
Right.
And it's like every Woody Allen film. Why are they all so great?
Right.
When there's an average of like 0.3 black people in there, man.
Yeah.
Like
that's
something that hopefully, you know what I'm saying? I guess it's noticed because we have black exploitation films in the 70s and 80s.
Right.
And people really flock to those, and those are timeless films. But is it going to be something where, you know, Marvel just makes money off of it and takes off? And it's like, okay, what's the cash grab?
Right.
But I did want to ask a question on this note. How many Black Panther movies do we get?
Oh, bro, we're getting,
I think it's only going to be two.
Nah, bro, we're getting 3 to 5. Nah, we're not going to get 5. We're getting at least 3.
No,
at
because least 3. They haven't done a trilogy with every superhero. We're only going to get 2. I promise you.
They did a trilogy
There's going to be a sequel for sure. Yeah,
but
Iron Man 3
I would say I'd want one sequel. I think you're playing it out. If you
don't
three.
Milk it,
yeah,
you don't want to oversaturate people with something that.
So how many
was a risk?
Okay,
already.
So here's what I'll compare to. Here's what I'll compare Black Panther to.
It's a bad comparison. I can already tell.
Nah. The only superhero movie I know that did 3 and was real solid.
Iron Man.
Nope.
Underworld.
Oh,
nah,
Dark Knight. Yeah, Blade. Dark Knight trilogy is literally the only superhero.
The only one,
bro.
But the thing is, bro. I'm gonna break it down to y'all. I'm gonna laugh at this.
Terrible.
The reason why Coogler, bro, I literally read in this. He literally compared Killmonger to the Joker, bro. He wanted those two the same.
Yeah.
He wanted because you get that moment where he kills him, and you're like, bro, what's gonna happen? You know what I mean? Because they never show like in a movie like, oh yeah, like the bad guy is actually winning, and he literally said like, bro, I want there to be a villain that goes toe to toe with the person, and at times it's like even that villain overtakes the hero, you know what I'm saying?
And there was a part in the movie like I knew that Black Panther was gonna come
back, same
here. but Killmonger was like he was just
he was
such
it, bro,
a big
yeah.
figure, and you like dang.
I was thinking,
does he really have a chance?
But see, that's the thing. That's exactly what Cooler said. He wanted y'all to think, bro.
And then the Joker in Dark Knight.
Exactly. There was like, bro, like
he was like more of a human in like compared to say the animated films or like how he'd been portrayed in the past. You know what I'm saying? Because he was like relatable. It's like this dude is really a threat to Batman.
Exactly. It was that same moment where it was like, bro, like. What are you gonna do? Like, he was like, bro, Batman, you either gotta save them or them. Somebody's gonna die. And it's like, dang, bro, like, it's so mental. Right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was mental game, mind
game. And I was like, that's the same thing Killmonger did with T'Challa. It was like, bro, you gonna play mind games with him.
Yeah.
But man, bro, we could talk 2 hours about this, but we got 5 minutes.
Hold
bro.
Up. Shout out to F. Gary Gray for deciding to take Fast and Furious 8 instead of Black Panther, so he gave Ryan Coogler a chance. Because it was between those two in 2015, and he decided to take Fast and Furious 8.
And that movie's going to be whack.
It came out. It was trash.
That movie was whack.
Yeah, nobody cared. Nobody. Correction. Asterisk.
Yo, but let's go around, man. Let's go around the table, and everybody give their final thoughts, and then we're going to let this Bloody Waters play.
There's 8 of them?
Yeah. Well, I think that we could have talked more about the women in the movie, but that's just my opinion. So maybe we'll talk about that on my show, Queen Talk, once a month, every third Thursday of the month from 7 to 8 p.m.
Shout out.
So if you want to hear more about, you know, what I think and listen to an all-women space, check it out.
I'd like to thank Disney and Marvel for giving Ryan Coogler a chance and bringing Black Panther to the big screen, because it was something that was much needed, not only for the culture, but for the comic book universe. And it was an amazing product. We got to keep the ball rolling from now on. No more negative perceptions of Africa or the black culture as a whole. More positivity. 2018. Moving forward. Hey.
Closing thought, I'm gonna go see it again. Y'all should go see it again if you haven't already. Go see it once and then watch it again the same day, and then listen to the soundtrack 15 times in a row in an all black room.
And all black everything.
I'm kidding. What Victor said, bro. Stay positive. 2018. What you got, Tevin? Are you gonna talk?
Man, bro, I just want to say good night. I just want to say shout out to the Bay. Shout out to Ryan Coogler. Man, big inspirations, man. Big inspirations. I hope everybody just have a blessed night. And we just going to let this Bloody Waters play. Yes, Lord. Shout out to Anderson Paak.
Stays in. I don't keep it though. I won't be here for it.
Yes, Lord. Hail Mary's in the sky. False prophets get buried alive. Head on the throne, cause that's where I reside. Ways of the world, the weak won't survive. Something's in the water. Hey, my we lawless. Please move with caution. Who said the fairway? Damn right, I need all this. Yeah, Jack, I need. Blood on my hands, I'ma need hot agua. You gon' meet Jamaica, I won't say it in patois. Hope I strike a nerve like a package of matches. You may wanna bypass, this smoke ain't gastric. A prince turned pauper, trying to do like kings do. Sweating in chess games, try move like kings move. You should slow your roll before you drown in the moat. He tried to channel balance, but never found the remote. Killers on the prowl, still jugging off a lick. I'm still in with a double for his common politics, everlasting mayhem. Draw to stick you for your figures, that's how they hang, man. So what's your game plan if you got one? You aiming at passengers with a whoa. The aftermath is you in the scope. It's warfare, is warfare? No. You understand, it's probably better you don't. Just keep a dock on standby, charter a boat. Ship set sail and planes depart. The big picture's in motion, are you playing your part? Yeah. Before before the lights get dark and the curtains get closed. Are you playing your role? As told by an organized criminal in general. Get off my... I got your general.
Hail Mary's in the sky. False prophets get buried alive. Head on the throne, cause that's what I
Radio and Wild Rome.